Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, the Lord's servant. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity, yet surely my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up from the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 40, 1 through 11, responsively. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required.
Then I said, "Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart."
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me.
Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me.
Second lesson is 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9, called to be saints. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our Alleluia on page 83. Please rise.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He in whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Yeah, good evening. First, I want to start with a question. Anybody know what this is? It's a pen, but what is this? Ah, man, you are bright. It's the whole point. It's the main point. Because if you don't have the point, can you write with it?
No.
Ah, the point. Yeah, the point. In fact, tonight we're going to talk about the point, right? The whole point, the main point. And the reason I want you to think about this is, you know, our hand, each of these fingers has a name. You know that, right? This is my?
Pinky.
Pinky. This is my? Ring finger. This is, well, they call that the middle finger, right? Some people, they give people the finger, right? Oh, this one is?
Pointer finger.
This one is?
Thumb.
The thumb. But this is the point we're making tonight, right? And it's all about John the Baptist. The lesson that I just read talked about John the Baptist. What do you know about John? Do you know anything about John the Baptist?
He baptized Jesus.
He baptized Jesus. What else do you know about John? Do you know what he wore?
Camel's hair.
Huh?
Camel's hair.
Yeah, he wore camel's hair clothing. Do you remember what he ate?
He ate honey right from the bees.
Honey from the bees and?
Grasshoppers.
Yeah, grasshoppers, locusts, right? You remember that? Yeah, John the Baptist. So a lot of times people were saying, "John, tell me about yourself." But you know what John would say? What's the point? What's the point of me telling you about myself? No, you know what John always did? He always used the pointer finger, right? He always gave people the finger. And you know what he was pointing out? You know what he was always pointing to? He was always pointing to Jesus. In fact, twice in the gospel reading for tonight, I said a word that John said. Behold the Lamb of God. You see? Sometimes we have to point things out. They use a laser pointer, right? Or we might use this, in school, it might be a pointer stick, right? Have you heard of a pointer stick? You know, you use it for pointing. And some of those pointer sticks, they even have a hand like this at the end of it, right? Yes. And what's the point? It's the main point, right? I mean, if you've got a pen and you don't have a point, you're not going to be able to write or do what you need to do with it. It might look pretty, but it would be missing the main point, right? Yeah. So, if I were to go like this, what am I doing? I'm using my pointer finger. What am I doing?
Pointing at the cross.
Oh, what?
Pointing at the cross.
Why would I point at the cross? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist did. He was always saying, what's the point of me talking about myself? I want to talk about Jesus. I want you to know Jesus, right? So if I'm pointing to the cross, it's because what happened on the cross? Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's the point, isn't it? That I'm a sinner, that you're a sinner, that we need forgiveness, and that forgiveness is found only in Jesus. So, when you're going to school, when you're wrestling, right? When you're dancing ballet, when you're doing basketball, no matter what you're doing, what's the main point? For people to see you, or for people to know about Jesus? That's the point, isn't it? Yep. Every day, God is giving us an opportunity not to point to myself, but to point to Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, you are the only point of life. Without you, life has no point. I want to stay with you forever. Amen. Thanks for coming up. You're getting the point, right? Getting the point. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. Twice in our gospel lesson for tonight, John is using his pointer finger. He's giving people the finger, the pointer finger. He's pointing to Jesus and saying, behold, see, it's Epiphany. Do you see? Behold, look, listen. This is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Sin, singular, not just all of our individual collective sins, but sin of the world, which means your sin, my sin, our sin. Behold the Lamb of God. He's talking about the Passover Lamb, and Jesus will in fact be crucified on a cross in the Gospel of John when the Passover lambs are being sacrificed. And we remember the story from Exodus. It was the 10th plague. And the people of God, they were slaves in Egypt. But the 10th plague was when they put lamb's blood on the doorpost and lintels. So the angel of death saw the blood of the perfect lamb and passed over the houses, the homes of the Israelites, and they were spared. So also, we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are covered, that's an atonement word, we are covered with the blood of the Lamb of God. And in that covering, in that washing of blood, our sins are forgiven. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Covered with his blood, we are freed from sin, freed from death, freed from the power of the devil. A number of years ago, in Germany, there was a tourist group, and they were looking at some of the Luther sites, and some of the churches in Germany. And they came upon this one particular church where they noticed that way up high in a tower, almost to the top, there was carved in wood a beautiful lamb. And so one of the tourists said to the tour guide, "Can you tell us about this? I mean, is it because it's called Lamb of God Lutheran Church? Is it because it's Good Shepherd Lutheran? Tell us the story of this." And the tour guide said, "It's quite simple, actually. You see, a number of years ago when this church was being built, and they're building the tower, there were construction workers. And one was way up high on scaffolding by that tower. And he fell. And when the other workers went down to check on him, assuming that he was most certainly dead, they discovered that though he was injured, it was minimal injury, and he was alive. And you know why? Because at that precise moment, there was a flock of sheep that was straying right there by that church and tower being constructed, and this construction worker fell on the lamb. And the lamb cushioned his fall. And even though the lamb was crushed, the construction worker's life was spared. Isaiah says, "Surely he has borne our sins, and he was crushed for our iniquities." When John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he's pointing to something significant, like you heard Gavin say. He knows what that is. When we point to the cross that we've been sealed and marked with, this is not a piece of jewelry. This is, in fact, the instrument that put our Lord and Savior to death, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And that's what John is all about. He wants to decrease so that Jesus can increase. And the one thing we know for sure from the opening chapter of John's Gospel is that if you want to catch the main point, then you need to pay attention to what John is pointing to. And John is always pointing to Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light so that all people might be saved through him, the light. So people would come to John and they say, "So why are you baptizing? Or tell us about yourself, John." And John repeatedly said, "What in the world is the point?" But I can tell you what the point is. It's about having a permanent place to stay. And I don't mean location or geography. I'm not talking about a physical accommodation like a house or a motel. No, in John's Gospel, the word is abide, which means to remain or to stay put. And you see, the bottom line is, the main point is this: everyone is going to stay permanently somewhere. Do we intend to stay forever in the place with Jesus or in the place without Jesus? That's the point that John's Gospel is proclaiming. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in the Gospel of John, but these are written so that you may come to believe, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. The next day, read John chapter 1, the prologue to John's Gospel sometime. You're going to love it, because The next day, you start to look at your calendar and do the math, and you're saying, how many next days are there? And what in the world is the purpose? You heard it twice in the Gospel tonight. What's the purpose? What's the reason of saying, the next day? The next day? I mean, is this just calendar sequence? Or is John reminding us, pointing out a truth that we dare not miss? That the next day, well, tomorrow, is always an opportunity for you and me to point to Jesus. That's what evangelism is. It's about pointing to Jesus. It doesn't have to be some kind of a big fancy program. But evangelism? Well, Luther said it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And the point, of course, is pointing to Jesus. The next day, John was walking with two of his disciples. So he was the teacher. He had some students. We find out that one of those students' name was Andrew, who had a brother named Rocky, Simon Peter, right? So he's walking, and for the second time, he wants to make sure that his disciples don't miss it, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see what I see? Come on, guys. I've been teaching you a long time. You're not going to miss this, right? And did you hear what they did? They immediately started to follow Jesus. And we don't know, like, if they kept their distance or if they realized that if you're going to keep company with Christ, you're going to have to get up close. Right? Now, you can picture it, can't you, in our gospel? Because it's exciting. It really is. Now, think about this. So, Jesus, it's not because he has eyes in the back of his head. Jesus, he turns around because they're following him. And did you hear the question that he asked? He says to those two, one gets a name, one doesn't. One's Andrew, we don't know the name of the other. He says to those two, "So, what are you seeking?" What are you looking for? I mean, what in the world is the point of this? You just get tired of John the Baptist? You just want to move on to another teacher? What are you up to? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? That's a good question. Seriously. I think there's a whole bunch of people right out our front doors that are seeking and looking. And the worst part of all is they're not sure what in the world they're looking for. Because nobody has the courage to do what? Give them the finger. Point to Jesus. Right? What's the point? John's whole life is about Jesus. And that is the main point. So he points out, they're following Jesus. He turns around and he says, "So what are you seeking?" And they say, did you hear what they said? "Where are you staying?" But that's the word meno, M-E-N-O, in the Gospel of John. It means to abide. It means to remain. It's not about, well, you know, we're looking for accommodations because it's 4 o'clock and it's going to be dark. And we got to have a place to stay for the night. No, what's going on there is they're talking about abiding. Abiding is not about brick and mortar. Abiding is about relationship. Relationships. So Jesus, it's just beautiful. You heard what he said? Come and you will see. What he says is right on the money because come is a present tense verb. So as you come, as you are coming, keep coming, present tense, ongoing, right? As you come, you will see. You think maybe? You will see is promise. Not maybe, not perhaps. Promise. As you come, you will see. There is certainty when Jesus speaks. And so they go with him. And they stay with him that day. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but what about the next day? Because we've all known people that kind of get excited about God or Jesus or a church or whatever, but they don't have staying power. You know what I mean? It's about staying through thick and thin. It's about staying with someone. Staying with something. You see? So then, what does John do? He starts off the next day. Well, what immediately happens then with this one disciple called Simon. Did you hear what Simon does? First, not second or third, not last of all, but the first thing he does is he goes and finds who? His brother, Simon Peter. You see what the point is of our gospel for tonight? I mean, the point is, where are you staying? Who or what are you seeking? And when you get found, and even if you think you've done the finding, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to point? I think it's beautiful that Simon, the very first thing Andrew does is he gives his brother the finger. He points to Jesus. And then it says, we have found the Christ, Messiah, and he brought Simon Peter to Jesus. You see, our gospel lesson for tonight is asking us some really deep questions, isn't it? Really good for a discipleship covenant service of worship or on a Saturday when we're having our annual meeting and celebrating all God's goodness in 2019 and all God's dreams for us in 2020. Questions like, where are you staying? Who are you abiding with? What are you seeking? Questions like, so who are you bringing with you? Huh? Who did you bring with you? Oh, was I supposed to do that? Can you imagine? This is where it hits home for me. Do we, if this is a life and death matter, if this is about abiding for eternity, either with Jesus or without Jesus, then the point of John chapter 1, or the whole gospel of John is, do you think Andrew cares about the salvation of his brother, Simon Peter? I think he does. I think he wants to make sure that he ends up in heaven and not the other alternative. And so what does he do? The very first thing he does is say, you know, brother, time's a-wasting. We just found the meaning of life. We just found the Savior of the world, and you need to come and see him. You need to come and stay with him, be with him, abide with him, remain with him. I believe that none of us here tonight want to see our loved ones, children, parents, grandparents, nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters. I don't believe there's anybody here tonight that wants to see someone they love not in heaven. So you see how this text works on us? Come and you will see. That's not pointing to you and me. Come and Jesus will show you. All we can do is invite. And then give the person we invite the promise that Jesus gives. You're going to meet Jesus, and Jesus is going to open your eyes and open your ears, and you're going to be able to see. Come. I'll pick you up. Seriously, I'll pick you up. What does it take for me to do? Because I want you to meet Jesus. I don't want you just to have an acquaintance with Jesus. I want you to abide with Jesus. I want you to remain with Jesus. I want you to stay with Jesus. Today and tomorrow, which is the next day. And the next day, I was visiting a man who was dying of cancer. They couldn't do any more treatment. This is at Tacoma General Hospital out in Tacoma, Washington. And every time I'd go to see him, I would share scripture and devotional. It happened to be Epiphany. It happened to be this text. So I shared that with him. And his comment to me was, so what's next? So what's next? Because he knew that his time here on earth was short. I said, well, it's pretty obvious. Jesus says what's next is the next day. Jesus has the next day for you. In this life and the next, because it is his blood, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that saves us. And once we get the good news, why would we want to point to ourselves instead of pointing to the Savior? You see? A woman named Donna volunteered for years with Hope USA. Used to do it in Chicago, Illinois, then moved down to Houston, Texas. There was a little boy, maybe 6 or 7, named Johnny. And she made it a point one day a week with Hope USA to go because he had a challenging life. And so she went there and she would tutor him and help him with his homework. And then she did an extra. Every Saturday, she went and she took him out on an adventure. So they could go to the art gallery, so they could go to the zoo, so that they could go to an amusement park. Just amazing stuff that he never would have had a chance to experience otherwise. And then Donna's husband died, and there was the funeral. And after the funeral, there was the reception meal, and everyone noticed that little Johnny, 6, 7 years old, he was staying right beside Donna. Didn't move. Some of the gals that were serving, they said, "Johnny, aren't you hungry? They got some homemade chocolate chip cookies. They got some milk, lemonade. Why don't you..." "No, I can't do that. I need to stay put." And so he did. He stayed with Donna the whole time. Now, at that funeral and reception, there was a man there from Chicago. And the reason that he was there is because 38 years old earlier, this 60-plus-year-old woman, Donna, who had been working with Hope USA, mentoring kids, loving them with the love of Jesus, she had done this for this other man. 38 years earlier, when this other man was in kindergarten. And he, once every year in the summer, would fly from Chicago down to Houston to spend time with Donna and to help her with projects and things that she needed done. And at the funeral, he came up to her and he said, "You're the first person in my life that ever let me know that I was lovable and that my life had value and worth. You believed in me. You've always loved me with the love of Jesus, and you believed in me. You showed me Jesus. Thank you." Little Johnny, 6, 7, this older man, 38 years earlier in kindergarten, mentored by Donna. Where did Donna learn to love like that? Well, someone pointed her to Jesus. She learned it from Jesus, just like Andrew did. He spent time, he remained, he stayed, he abided with Jesus. And if you follow the Gospel of John, you'll notice that in chapter 6, Andrew's always bringing people to Jesus. In chapter 6, there's a hungry crowd. And do you remember who Andrew brings? Oh, little boy, little kid, right? With a sack of lunch. 5 little cakes of bread, 2 little sardines. Andrew brought them to Jesus, and Jesus said, "It's enough." He blessed it, broke it, and everyone got plenty to eat. And in chapter 12, there were some Greeks. And who is it that brings them to Jesus? Andrew. You see, he learned how to bring people to Jesus by spending time with Jesus. And the more time that we spend with Jesus, the more that we are embraced by his love, the more that we're going to want to share that love and that eternal embrace with others. So, good questions. Like, what are you seeking? What exactly are you looking for? Like, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you to meet Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Your sin and my sin. And in his love, we abide. We remain. We stay put forever. In my Father's house, John 14, Jesus says, there are many abiding staying places. I go to prepare a staying place for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.